You're listening to a podcast from 702.
702.
The Friday Mix.
This food feature is brought to you by Clenergy Kitchen, keto, banting, low carb, and weight loss made decadently delicious. And it's with that I welcome Grace Stevens on the line, talking the ultimate guide for your baking business. Grace, welcome to the Azania Masaka Show. Welcome to 702. Thanks so much for your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Grace, it is an absolute pleasure. You are an award-winning TV chef, a cookbook author, and you're called the mastermind behind everyday baking and decorating. And I guess the lovely synthesis of what you do is you're taking your two passions of baking and teaching and combining them into culinary classes that are useful to so many at this point. Talk to me about why, having begun your professional career as a teacher, you finally decided to chase that second passion of baking.
Well, I think it's these things you don't chase after them, they kind of find you. and you, even if you have a passion I've found in my life, it kind of, you come full circle and you come. So I've always loved teaching. And the baking, of course, was a hobby of mine. Mm-hmm. But when after I had my second child, I decided I really would be a stay-at-home mom and spend more time with my family. And then, of course, discovered that it's, you know, when you've been such a contribution to your community for so long and such, you know, and you kind of feel like you crave to actually also to do something similar as well. And being at, you know, once you drop your kids off at school, there's really like, what else are you supposed to do except the dishes? And so I decided to go and to enjoy my second my hobby and my second passion, and it kind of turned into a friend of mine suggested I sell my cakes because she'd had a disaster ordering for her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And she came to my son's birthday, I think it was on the same day, and she said, no, you have to start selling your cakes. And yeah, and the rest is history.
And you know, when the people around you in your immediate circle tell you that this is definitely good enough to be sold and not just made for us in your circle, you know that you've got real buy-in right away. Grace, yeah. You know, what you're fundamentally teaching and talking about right now is for those people that are passionate about baking, that perhaps do it as you did initially, right? For family, maybe even for friends. And they know they're good at what they do. They know they enjoy baking and are skilled at it. But, you know, we're living in a very special time. And I don't mean that only in a bad way, but in a time when so many of us have been forced to innovate or do things differently or think very differently about our career trajectories. And for those that are now thinking maybe it is time to focus on this passion and turn it into a business, you also in your culinary classes and teaching people and talking to people about pivoting to creating a business out of that baking, you have you've got a set of rules essentially that you live by and that you're teaching the people in your classes. Talk to me about how long it took you to get to this point where you felt you were ready to say, okay, I've done this. I've been able to become an entrepreneur out of my own passion, and now I'm ready to share my insights with everybody else.
Well, I've been in the baking industry for 12 years now, and it doesn't feel that long for me. But when I speak to my students and I listen to the questions that they have, and when I read on the cake forums the questions that people have, especially the question they're always asking, what would you charge for this?
Yes.
And it rubs me up the wrong way, because Checkers doesn't go to Pick and Pay and say, what would you charge for a loaf of bread?
True.
And you essentially, on a cake forum like that, you are asking your competitors what you should charge. And I want to empower people, and I want to empower especially women in the industry to, you know, why are you asking other people what you should charge? Why can't you see the value in what you're producing?
Yes.
And that for me really was a burnt. It was like really burnt in me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want people to see the value, because it's not just about what your item costs you. It's how you value it and how you can make other people see the value in it. And that's where I think where the whole thing pivoted from,
yeah.
was I never thought I had enough experience or enough kind of ideas. But then I saw this in women, and I thought it's a fundamental issue with women that we don't see value in what we produce ourselves. Mm. And I wanted to teach women to value themselves, value what they create, and to create a business
yeah.
that really is sustainable. Because I think we forget that word, that if we are working ourselves to the bone and we're not making enough profit, that is not really sustainable at all.
Yeah.
So that for me was where I really wanted to jump off from, is value yourself, value your product, and then you will make a profitable and sustainable business.
Yeah. And, you know, just to that point, you've said something really, really important, which is, you know, the psychology behind starting your own business and then having the confidence to build something sustainably and set those long-term goals and know what is achievable right now in the midterm and in the long term. So when you start helping the women that you teach to think in, to be more business-minded effectively, what are the other sort of hurdles or lessons that you also want them to internalize?
Well, a lot of it is to do with your head. Our hearts, you know, you have to really like listen to your head and your heart, but you need to crunch the numbers and really know what your product is costing you at the end of the day. And a lot of bakers forget the cost of the box that you send it home with, the little extra piece of ribbon that you put on or a sticker that you put on. Those sort of costs we kind of wave away, but they add up to considerable amount of loss if you don't actually pass that cost on to your client. Things like, I often ask my students, "What do you know what this cake costs you to make in terms of electricity?" And no one even knows how many units they use.
Yes.
And there's those things. And, you know, if you let those sorts of things slide, are you even factoring in the fact that you use Wi-Fi to run your business and you're paying for that Wi-Fi and your marketing and costs and those sorts of things? And people really forget to add in those little costs, and that's what's eating away at your profit at the end of the day.
Sure.
So essentially, it's practical. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. What actually does this product cost me? And people say, in my area, no one will buy this. But as far as I understand, the price of eggs in South Africa is pretty uniform. The price of flour and the price of milk and those and butter, it's not about the area that you live in. And I think that another aspect that I do spend a lot of time on discussing is, who are your clients?
Yes.
Where do they shop? What do they buy? What kind of clothing shop do they buy their clothes at? Where do they go shopping for their groceries? Because if you don't essentially know who's going to buy your product, how will you know how much value you're going to put on it?
Yeah.
So it's actually essentially getting down to the basics. I'm not going to give you any like huge, big, Tony Robbins pump up. You know what I mean? We're not, you know, it's literally, yeah. Let's get down to the essential basics,
yeah.
Because that's where your sustainability lies.
I love the fact that you're not promising to juice us up on motivational talks and inspiration. You're all about practicality, right? And disabusing us of any romantic notions about a day spent baking perfect cookies. But talk to me then, Grace, about when it's the right time, or when you recommend is the right time for students to specialize, for instance, because I can only imagine that with things like the Cronut, right? We know that the pastry chef Dominic Ansel, for instance, he invented the cross between the croissant and the donut, and the Cronut, and we've seen so many trends over the years, and people make their names, people become these headline chefs, you know, or pastry chefs. out of these inventions. But we're not everybody, not every baker can become that headline name. Do you recommend specialization, or do you just tell people, you know what, stay in your lane, maybe cookies and frosting is just going to be the thing for the rest of your baking career, and if that's the business, that's good enough?
I think that we all dream about that. Like every actor probably dreams that they could be Charlize. You know what I mean? We all that we'd make it, or you know. But at the end of the day, you've got to put in the hours.
Yeah.
Until you know your craft inside out, you're very unlikely to make some huge discovery like that. So at the end of the day, I mean, I hate saying stick in your lane, but I also say whatever you do, do to the best of your ability and try not to spread yourself too thin. Because if your product line is just so huge, mm-hmm. and you know, with us being crafters, whether you're a craft baker or you're a craft decorator or a designer, we are an integral part yes. of our product. And so we don't want to really shoot ourselves in the foot by kind of creating a scenario where we are not being able to be part of our product. So in that way, I'd always say, stick to what you're really good at, hone that and push that, because there's no other you out there than you.
Mm.
You know, when it comes to this sort of wonderful craft, you are the secret ingredient.
Sure.
So nothing out there is going to be exactly the way that you produce it, because it's you. And so don't try to water you down. Do you, and do you fabulously. And that is where people, you know, make their name, because mm-hmm. They get a reputation for consistency. And that only really comes when you practice and you practice and you practice.
Yeah.
So I would just say do you, and do you to the best that you can do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do that, because when we are part of our product, when people don't want to buy our product, we feel like they're rejecting us.
It feels personal.
That's where you have to put on your big girl panties.
Yeah. You brought up a very important point of reliability and consistency, right? And that's exactly, you pointed out the fact that when your friend had been disappointed, and she'd been trying to order a cake for her own child's birthday party, and she was disappointed, that's when she turned to you and said, you know what, we know you for your reliability. We can trust you. We can depend on you. Mm. You should do this for a living. Just touch on that consistency as far as customers are concerned, because I think that is an abiding nightmare for anybody who's tried to plan a party or plan for an occasion, and having that essential ingredient, which is the cake, right? Or the confectionery, absolutely. Not show up on time or as promised.
Yeah, and I think that is where planning comes in. You can tell I'm a list maker and a planner.
Sure.
You need to know how much time something is going to take you, so that you don't overextend yourself. And people, I tell this to my students too, don't spend so much time trying to get new business that you forget about your current clients.
Mm.
And that comes down to consistency, because they need to know that if they ordered a cake in April and then told their friend your number, and then their friend orders a cake in September, that must be the same.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I do practical things like you need to weigh out your batter in your tins. You weigh out your buttercream when you put it on your cakes and assemble your cakes. Everything is very well structured and measured. So that can help with your consistency. And, I mean, I think that consistency also comes with practice.
Sure.
But, yes, as baking is a science, business is a science. And if I want my students to go away with one message, I always say to them, just because you're great at baking or decorating doesn't automatically make you a great businesswoman or a businessman. So you need to spend as much effort honing your business skills as you have in the past honing your decorating or baking skills.
Absolutely.
Because it's not just going to come to you because you're fabulous. And unfortunately, you need to now go and spend as much time thinking about how you're going to run your business and those very fine tuning of things. And if you need to take a course, on business. Go and take a course on business.
Sure.
Because now you're essentially doing and honing another skill, aren't you?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And lots of women say, I tried to do a business, but I don't think I'm good enough.
Mm.
And that always hurts my heart because I'm saying, no. It's not going to come overnight, and it's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
It is going to be a skill now that you have to work at.
I think, Grace, I mean, we've definitely cemented the fact that treating your passion and perhaps if you're just pivoting to baking full time and offering these services, we've cemented the fact that you do need to skill yourself and your business skills, your business knowledge and your approach to it. Let's focus then on your classes specifically. When women come to your classes, what can they expect to learn from you? Because we are having this conversation, as I said, when we started talking, against the backdrop of a global pandemic, against the backdrop of our own economy here at home that was already in a technical recession at the beginning of all of this. And so many people, especially women, have been the worst affected with either layoffs, with being furloughed or have taken pay cuts. So the women that you're essentially your target market for these classes are the ones that have to listen to this. But what can they expect when they come to your class?
When you come to one of my classes, whether it is a sugar flower class or a buttercream class or even a business class, essentially I want to know where you are on your journey because I'm going to join you and we're going to work together to get you to wherever you have goals to get to. And so if that you're just starting out, I'm going to show you the basics and we're going to start from the beginning. And we work from whatever medium we're using, I'll get you familiar with your medium because it's not necessarily all the tools and all the, you know, the bells and whistles that you need to get used to. You need to be able to master your medium. And so if you come to my class, I'm going to take you step by step through things. And it's also, it's really individual. My classes are small, so you get a nice individual feel to it. So I answer lots of questions. And lots of people come having kind of sourced their knowledge off social media.
Sure.
And it's not always the best place to go. And
why do you say that?
You're gonna get, well, I suppose anyone with a camera can video themselves piping buttercream roses, can they?
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee that you're getting someone who's a professional or someone's even had excellent training.
Mm-hmm.
So when you come to my classes, I have been trained by the best in the industry, and I'm so grateful for all that grounding of that training. So when you come to me, you know that I'm going to pass on the legacy of sugarcraft that is from our country, because our country, and a lot of people don't actually realize just the legacy that we have in South Africa for cake decorating. Now, I've been immersed in that for 12 years. I've learned from most incredible decorators, either here or overseas. And so that's the knowledge I'm going to impart to you. And so you're going to get a professional class with professional techniques. And I'm also going to teach you how to be proficient at it, but also so that when you're mass making them for your business. So I'm going to show you how to make one rose, but I'll also give you tips how to make 50 without really getting into fatigue and stuff like that. So those are the sort of things that you'll get in a class from me.
Absolutely love it. Grace Stevens, really appreciate your time this afternoon. And more than anything, I think I love the message that you're sending out, which is that you need to know your worth and stick to it. Understand the value that you bring to your creations and, of course, to your business. So all the best on your journey in teaching other women to find out, to make sure that that passion eventually starts paying off in a meaningful way.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I hope the weather's as amazing out your way as it is here today.
It certainly is. And all the best to you and your students, Grace Stevens. They're talking the ultimate guide for your baking business. She's a business owner and baking aficionado and, of course, a teacher as well.